The NSABP trial is important because I think it is a randomized comparison, and hopefully it will put to rest the two issues. One is the oxaliplatin phase 1-2 data real? I think it will be. And the other is, certainly in terms of paths to the R rate, I have no question about that. The other is, can one routinely, and I think routine is the operative word here, routinely substitute an oral fluoropyrimidine for IV? Certainly there are a lot of data from phase 1-2 studies to suggest that one can do it. We know the dose, we know the schedule, we know its tolerability. In a curative situation, I think you want more than that. You want not only the ability to do it, but the sense that you're not giving an inferior regimen. With accumulating data from the EXACT trial, for example, in colon cancer, I think that one gets more belief that you can substitute the oral fluoropyrimidine for IV 5-FU. But I'm more prone to believing that in metastatic disease and in the adjuvant colon setting where the data are existent, as opposed to just believing it in a patient with rectal cancer, for example, who is off study, who is going for cure and also going for quality of life and going for the sphincter preservation.
Another aspect of quality of life is oral versus a pump. What are your observations on that?
You know, when oxaliplatin first came on the market and people were concerned that American docs couldn't use a pump, I was worried about that statement. I mean, here are people that do bone marrow transplants. What's the big deal about a port and a pump? It wasn't a big deal. It just was a matter of learning a new technique. I think there are two aspects. Is infusional therapy is much more tolerable than bolus therapy. We know that from every study that's been done. We know it in rectal cancer, in fact, from the Intergroup 0144 study. So that things like febrile neutropenia and mucositis and diarrhea, if you look at just the infusional therapy alone, is almost non-existent. So it's a very efficient way and efficacious way of giving fluoropyrimidine therapy. For the majority of my patients, having a port and a pump is not a huge issue. Once they get to do it, it's one factor of their life they learn to deal with. And because of its tolerability, I guess only I can tell them how bad it could be if they were taking the Mayo regimen. So they have nothing to compare to, but they don't really have a lot of toxicity with that moiety of their treatment alone.
Yeah, but we're comparing this to capecitabine.
Correct. So if you then say, well, if capecitabine were equally efficacious, for some patients, they like coming to my office. For some of my patients on oral therapies or even on no treatment at all, they like coming because it's part of their treatment to see me and the nurse who works with me and to get monitored. They feel good being monitored. Being away from us is not necessarily a positive. For some patients, pill taking is not always the best thing in the world. They may have 12 other pills that they're taking, and taking 5 in the morning and 5 in the evening for 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off, or a week on and a week off, rather, may be difficult. But for many patients, if it's an option, then I can lay it out to them and say, here are the two options. Here are the pros and the cons. Of my adjuvant patients in whom I now give single agent fluoropyrimidine, I would say it's about 50-50 right now. And these are frequently older stage 3 patients who have low risk of recurrence and some stage 2 patients. My default is not infusional therapy, but Roswell Park regimen. And then there's capecitabine. And I use the standard dose regimen used in the EXACT trial, but I'm very quick to dose reduce and dose modify, which was done in the EXACT trial. The majority of patients had dose modifications and delays.